You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, beautiful human. Thanks for letting us into your ears today. We're about to catch up with our friend Nessa Barrett. She's a brand new record out. It's called Counting Crimes. We are on our way to an album. Hopefully she'll be back to discuss that. But for now, we have a lot to catch up on, including life and music and just everything. She had a busy day even before she got to our couch. She'll explain in a few. Just please subscribe to our podcast and tell your friends about it. Share with those you care about. And let us know who we should have on the show next. At Zach Sang Show on any form of social media, reach out. We see everything. Okay, here we go. Hello, beautiful human. My name is Zach. That is Dan.
Hello.
And we welcome to the studio, Nessa Barrett.
Hey. Woo-hoo!
Hi. I never know what to say, like, in the beginning. I'm so, like, awkward. I'm like, hey.
Yeah, I don't know what to do either. Like, do we clap? Do we, like, what do we do?
Woo! There should be, like, confetti.
Wow. That's a lot. Yeah. But also a mess. But I kind of.
A mess.
Yeah, but I like the idea. It's exciting. It's, ooh.
Yeah. It's exciting until, like, you start seeing, like, random, like, little confettis everywhere for, like, the next year.
Exactly.
Yeah, they never go away.
And then my dog's going to come in, eat it, and then it's going to show up in his poop. It's going to be a whole cycle.
The
confetti cycle is going to live forever.
Confetti poop. That's so funny.
By the way, that would be a really good product. Imagine that. You ingest something, and then on the other end, poof, it's actually pretty and nice.
No, yeah, like pink glitter. Imagine, like, you can drink something before you... And it's like pink glitter poop.
I think it's a good idea.
I don't know. I'll do it. I'll invent it.
I think we need to take this to Shark Tank.
I know. I really do think
like,
so.
Like yesterday.
Yeah.
Imagine pitching that. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, guys.
Yeah. I mean, or we could take it to one of your friends have those VC funds over there at the Hype House, you know, or something like that. They invest in things.
Dude.
I have no idea about investing anything. I'm just like, I'm just going to get money and then spend it because I don't really know how to invest in anything.
Do you have a spending problem?
Yes.
By the way, I can smell you from here. And rumor has it, you have a $650 stench surrounding you.
Yeah.
Wow.
I take a lot of pride in my smell. I don't know what it is. My mom's always been like that when it's like our house. We need like vanilla scented candles. It's like a big thing, but... I don't know. I have, like, major OCD with my scent, like, my breath and my smells. So, yeah.
Have you ever been around or been around recently somebody who smells? Because masks are off now.
No. Thank God. Thank God. And I even if I did, I'm not going to expose anyone. So, I don't want to think about it.
Okay. You may not expose them publicly, but would you tell them privately in a setting? Like, just say, hey.
You know, like, that, like, nice, like, gesture of, like, hey, I got, like, extra gum. You want it? You know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, hug them a lot. That way, like, my perfume rubs off on them.
That's very caring.
Yeah.
Very kind. By the way, it's really good to see you in person. The last
you
time
too.
We saw you was over a screen. And we have a lot of music to discuss, obviously. There's a new single, a new music video. So much going on in your life.
So much.
And I think I saw you from afar one time when I showed up to some house, some big glass house. You were like, somewhere. And, you know, and I was there, but, like, it wasn't a party or anything. It's like the middle of a Tuesday. It's really, there's a lot of dogs running around.
Yeah. We don't speak of that house.
Okay, got it. Okay, understood. Sorry.
Okay. I'm kidding.
What happened?
I know what house that was. I know.
Yeah, there was a transformer in the living room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we interviewed Jaden, and that transformer was in the background the whole time.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I do think that was the last time I saw you in person, in the flesh, and that was.
I don't know if I even knew that you were there.
No, you probably not.
Yeah, I would have said hey, but
hey,
yeah,
just like that, and that's it.
No, I would have talked to you, but I don't know. I was probably crying. Honestly, I spent a lot of days at that house crying.
That's not healthy.
Yeah, I know. Thank God we don't go there anymore.
Does that Does the pain that comes from those experiences make its way into the music?
Of course. Yeah, all the time.
I mean, even in that those moments, like, do you tap into the collection of those moments that you carry with you? Or when it hits the fan at that house and tears start flowing, do you go to a studio and figure it out? Or what's the process like?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I go to the studio as much as I can. And, like, but if I can't go to the studio, I'll just, at that house, I would go up to the rooftop, you know.
That's where I saw you. Weirdly enough, I was down below.
Did that make sense?
And I was
maybe I was like, I don't know. Maybe I was like vibing. I always write lyrics up there, so possibly.
Bad memories come from that house, or good because art came out of it?
I think I never regret anything because you can always make something out of bad stuff. So I would say good. Just because future music is amazing thanks to it. But yeah.
Where are you at? I mean, obviously, Counting Crimes is a new single, but is it a start for a new era? What does it signify to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think Counting Crimes really is the start to, like, a new me and, like, a new chapter. I just feel like I have changed as a person and grown so much. Like I moved out to LA when I was 17, now I'm 18, about to turn 19, and like musically too, like I feel like I finally like found my voice, and like Counting Crimes was kind of like the start of me figuring out exactly what direction I want to go in music. And yeah,
I find your story so amazing. One, because you are a fellow New Jerseyan.
Yes,
I am also from New Jersey. I do believe with every fiber of my being that New Jersey is the greatest state in the nation.
Dirty Jers, we love it.
Dirty Jers for life. Ready for this? I'm thinking about getting a tattoo of New Jersey, but as a pizza slice.
So that is sick.
An outline of the state, but it's a pizza slice.
That's sick. I actually love that. I'm all for tattoos, but I think that's great.
I've never gotten a tattoo. I have a fear of commitment, but you know what? I commit to New Jersey forever.
Do you know what's so funny?
What?
I was getting tattoos at 10 a.m. this morning.
What? Where? What? Yeah. Why?
No, yeah, that was my morning. I woke up, got tattoos, had therapy, got out of therapy, got more tattoos, got ready, came here.
Wow, you're a f-ing rock star. What's good?
They're all up my arm.
Are we in process?
I think we're getting there. Yeah, the gloves are a big...
Casual.
Yeah, but like we're getting there.
Oh, wow.
What'd you get this morning?
Yeah, I got this tooth this morning. I got like this skeleton thing. I got like something back here. I got a few on my like chest area. They're like hands. Yeah, I got like six today.
Why 10 a.m. on a Wednesday?
So my tattoo artist, Maddie, shout out to her. She's amazing. But I'm very lazy and don't feel like going to the shop. So whenever she's like free, which are like only like Tuesdays and Wednesdays, she'll come over to like my house and she'll like spend hours with me and just like tattoo. And so, I saw her like last Wednesday and last Tuesday and, got like probably like a total of 20 tattoos. What? And then I was like, I need more. When can you come back? She was like, Wednesday. And I was like, frick, I'm busy. Because I had this. I was, you know, just come
Sorry.
In the morning.
Disrupt the flow?
No, I love it. I love it. I don't know. I think it's kind of like cool that I like wake up and it's time to get tatted.
So do you put a lot of thought into what you're going to get? Or does she kind of come over and you're like, yeah, let's do a tooth today?
Yeah, the tooth thing was very impulsive. I've seen like a lot of like... tooth tattoos on people and I was like, oh, they're sick. But like I have like a lot of words and like numbers that like have like secret meanings and like a lot of stuff that are very deep, and I think it's cool. And mostly like I'm the only one that knows what like the meanings are, like the true meanings behind my tattoos, but they're sick and I like it because like they're out for like everyone to see, you know, if they can see them, but they don't know what they mean except for me. So it's like it's really cool.
Is it wrong of me to ask what the 2222 means? Three twos?
It's an angel number. I like it. I also love the number 2.
What is it about 2?
Those ones aren't really deep. The 777 one is super deep because I saw it all the time.
You see the number.
Mm-hmm. Like when you like look at like, I don't like, yeah. I would just like see it on like my phone randomly, or if I would like go down like through channels like to like on my TV, I'd randomly just like see that 777. It's like weird, like signs everywhere. I don't know, like do you ever get like drawn to looking at something randomly, like as like your day goes?
Like where I just come in contact with like the same thing pretty repetitively?
Yeah.
Not really.
Oh, or maybe I do all the time. Especially like every time I open up my phone, I see 1234 or like 1111 always. And that's why I have 1111 tattooed on me.
Well, I just Googled what a 777 mean. It says 777 is a lucky number because it's supposed to bring luck and change into your life.
Ooh.
That's perfect. And I'm pretty sure that's also why I got it. And I totally forgot the meaning. But but yeah, I mean, I also got it like a really like dark time. And I was like, I need something to like keep me reminded.
That's fascinating because I think your whole life is kind of rooted in like kind of random change, right? You were going to be a soccer player. You want to go Division One, and then that goes away because of you got hurt, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 8 concussions. So what? Now I'm here. But look, we love it.
I mean, like what the f-?
I know. So crazy. I feel like everything in my life is so odd, and I do really think it's luck. Like, I mean, I don't know, like I just feel lucky, and it sucks because sometimes I take away the fact that like maybe I do deserve something for the fact like that maybe I just got lucky. But yeah, it's crazy.
You know, I feel like life and career is based on a combination of luck and consistent hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, things fell into certain place to start something, but that doesn't mean it just is kept. It doesn't sustain on luck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sustains on you. It grows on you. It evolves because of you.
Yeah.
But I get it because, like, yeah, it's wild to think that you've gone from New Jersey playing soccer, ready to go to college, to waking up at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday to get a bunch of tattoos.
In L.A., yeah.
And you have diamonds in your teeth, dude.
Yeah, I do. One's a Playboy bunny.
Of course. Duh.
I'm so extra. I'm now realizing.
Are those in there permanently or can you take them out?
I can take them out. Okay. I've had, like, more, but they'd, like, fallen off as, like, I would, like, eat an apple and it's like, oh, they're gone. It's like braces.
Lost my Playboy bunny and my Granny Smith. Yo, beautiful human. I gotta hit pause real quick to talk about something that us humans are getting back to doing, which is getting out and being social and then taking photos. Come on, the best way to cherish and preserve a memory or a photo forever is by making it physical, making it tangible. Make that moment that you captured with your friends something that you can look at and hold on to for forever. You got to check out myphoto.com to get it all done. It is so awesome and so easy to use. And it takes literally 2 minutes to create an awesome special product for your own wall or shelf. And wow, they make amazing gifts for your loved ones or really for yourself. MyPhoto doesn't, you know, just sell photo books. They are like boring. They actually do cool things. They'll print your image directly on acrylic, glass, metal, and a whole bunch of other, you know, things. They'll turn your photos into keychains. They'll turn your photos into little tiny cubes that can go on your desk. I just did one of Lou, my dog, and it makes me so happy. You got to go to myphoto.com and check it out. That is myphoto.com. Order today and you'll get 20% off. And yeah, your order will arrive in 5 days. So it gets there real quick. Prices start at just $12. So there's something for everybody. Use code Zach and get 20% off today at myphoto.com. Do you see yourself as a rock star?
I would love to think that I am.
How does one become a rock star? Is it based on public perception and public, like, does somebody, like, does the crowd knight you a rock star? Or do you have to know that you're a rock star in order for people to be like, you're a rock star?
I have no idea. I think it's all about kind of how you go about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I feel like I am what other people see me as because I don't really know who I am when I look at myself. And I feel like, I mean, everything that's been going on recently is like so surreal that like I can't even comprehend all of my like achievements and like how far I've come. So it's like, I feel like when I'm like, when I'm me, I don't really feel like anything but myself. So, I mean, if you were to call me a rock star, I'd be like, okay, that's cool. I guess I'm a rock star, but yeah.
What fuels the need to get a bunch of tattoos? Is it a want to turn your body into art?
That and coping. I used to have some very unhealthy, negative ways to cope. And for me, tattoos were the closest to that that can leave like a permanent mark on my body that represents something beautiful, you know? So instead of like a scar.
How does music play into that? Does it at all? I feel like pain was like your introduction onto the scene, so
yeah.
it covers a real story.
No, yeah, totally. I mean, pain is pain. But I will draw inspiration for my tattoos from my music or music itself, or I will draw inspiration for my music from my tattoos. Like, I have an EP coming out, and I got the title of my EP just by looking at my arm and looked at one of my tattoos, and I was like, this is it.
So it's pretty wild that you turn this want for maybe initially, like right, like, when you talk about tattoos replacing the scars, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
You're essentially, like, turning that want into a piece of art that's with you that can even go on to create more art or
yeah.
Serve as a constant inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, too, like, it gives you kind of, like, some, like, control back, you know? Like, I can, like, choose to put whatever I want on my body and it'll stay there permanently. And that's, like, some control that I can hold, like, within myself when, like, I can't really control a lot of other things in life. So it's just, like, a lot of things that come into play, but I love them. And, like, yeah, I think it's fun.
What's something that you can't control that you wish you could?
Myself. That sounds so stupid, but, like, low-key. Other people, probably. The weather. There's a lot of things. Like, if I have, like, really good hair one day, I'm having a great hair day, and, like, go out and it's, like, humid out, I could have controlled it, you know?
How dare Mother Nature?
Yeah, I know. She hates me. She hates seeing me succeed.
What is the name of the EP that you got from your tattoo?
Pretty Poison.
Pretty Poison.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Sorry.
That's okay.
It's amazing. But, so, I don't know if anyone's going to understand what I'm saying by this, because I feel like I think so broad and, like, in-depth in, like, a really, like, weird way. But my EP, obviously, it's the most personal music that I've ever made in my life. It's the most me in, like, any of my projects. And so the title Pretty Poison kind of represents my life, you know? And I feel like I have a huge following, and I get so many comments saying, like, oh, like, I wish I were like you. I wish I, like, lived your life, whatever. Like, you're so lucky. But, like, kind of like the idea of Pretty Poison itself, you know, it seems so beautiful on the outside, but until you're in it, it's poison. And that's kind of how my life is. And I truly do believe that no one really could walk a day in my shoes if they were me, or could have made it this far if anyone else was me but myself. Because I feel like I've gone through a lot and continue to, and yeah. So it's just kind of just the fact that, like, everything just seems so beautiful and perfect on the outside, but inside's, like, very ugly.
And a lot of people have that same reality. I think a lot mm-hmm. of people who are in the public sphere in any sense.
Yeah, 100%. And it sucks because a lot of people don't really see that, you know, especially when you have a huge following on something like social media. They see you as a figure on a screen rather than a human being that has a life. And life is full of so many layers, and there's just, like, so much depth to it that you can never catch on a picture or a 15-second video or like a live stream or a music video or even like music sometimes, you know?
How do you balance Instagram, TikTok you with the real you? Or is it the same?
I would say it's the same. Obviously, I hide all the ugly parts as much as I can, but, you know, I feel like I just, like, post as myself, but, like, posting is just, like, posting, you know, you want people to see what you want them to see, and then the rest is kind of hidden, and you're left to deal with it on your own, yeah.
What is your relationship like with social media these days? Do you spend time on it, or do you try to avoid it?
Recently I've struggled with it a lot. I felt like it was bringing my mental health down a ton. And it just got to the point where like I would just go on an app and just instantly cry from something that I saw. It was terrible. So I took about a month of a break from it, and I had my team post for me, or like, my manager will have my Instagram on her phone, and then I would just like when she was with me and I wanted to post something, I'll just post it and then just give her phone back. And yeah, so I still kind of have like a team that's posting for me. And then if I'm up to posting myself, or if, you know, I'm like feeling okay mentally, then I'm able to go on when I want. But I do have a team that posts for me as well.
Do you evolve or grow, or how are you impacted by taking a month off of Instagram or social media?
I feel like it's been a huge impact. I've realized that like this is life and on there is not, you know. I think when you're on there 24/7, or at least like even like every day, you start to think that everything that's said on there, that like you see on there, is reality. And it takes you so far out of life itself. And I dissociate all the time, honestly, like randomly. Like I'll be at a dinner. I was at a dinner last night with my manager and my lawyer, and I was like dissociating, like sitting there. But that just like made me dissociate even more. And I think it was just like a nice cleanse. I feel like everyone kind of needs something like that.
Is it hard at all to think that something that gave you so much could also be so gross and hurtful? Because really the internet gave you, without the internet, we wouldn't be sitting here.
No, yeah. I mean, it's like, that's pretty poison, you know? Yeah. It's like, it has gave me so much and I owe everything to it. I'm so grateful. But there are a lot of negatives that come with a lot of good. And it takes a while for you to start to notice them and see them. But when you do, it hits hard. And it's very crazy.
How have you, it seems like you're doing a very good job of shedding the influencer social media star image and having people focus on the music. How have you been able to do that so well?
I think it just came very like easily and like natural to me, because I never wanted to be an influencer. You know, I've been so influenced by music my entire life, and I've always loved singing all the time. And like, my dad, you know, I recorded like a song in like a booth when I was like 4. So like I've been heavily involved with music, and it's always been my passion and my dream. And like social media influencer never really was, because I don't really like want to like influence people, because like I'm still learning. I'm 17 years old. You know I'm going to make mistakes. And I can like give people as much advice as I can, but like I am still like struggling mentally and like going through my own thing. Like I just started therapy again, like not too long ago. And I just feel like there was a lot of pressure that came with that. And I never was built for that. And I always knew I was. And my platform grew like randomly. I feel like I never really strived to do things for clout, for money, for followers. I was just being myself and posting as a normal teenage girl. But yeah, and it brought me here so that now I can do music. And so I think that's just kind of what helped my transition. I think too, I've always been so like authentic and real that I never really was like fake. You know, I never had like a split persona like on social media and then like off, like I am me, and so is my music. So yeah.
Partner in crime, crimes, plural, because that's the point of the song, right? Is that you've done things wrong, but like your partner's done way more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you both have done wrong, but the wrongs are much more steep on their side.
Yep.
Great concept for a record.
Thank you.
Really, really good.
Thank you.
How does this song come to be?
I just think that, you know, I had La-Di-Di, Pain, If You Love Me, pretty depressing songs, because I am a pretty depressing person, you know. But there is a moment where, you know, I grew older and I realized that it's okay to go through some bad stuff. It's all about kind of the energy that you have towards it. And like counting crimes really is like having that bad energy after like coming out of a toxic relationship, and like knowing, like admitting that like you've had your wrongs, but knowing that the other person has done way worse. So, I mean, yeah. And again, like, I mean, everything's from experience. So.
But do two wrongs make a right?
No, never.
But in this case, I mean, it kind of justifies it, right?
A little bit. But I think like when you're in a toxic relationship, it's toxic for a reason. You know, it takes two people to be in a relationship. And sometimes one person can maybe like influence a side of you to come out that wasn't really there, you know, and kind of influence you to do wrong things because of how they're treating the relationship itself. But also everyone's human. So like, I think it'd be silly to say that you've never done anything wrong, you know? Oh. And, I feel like you could say that like you're perfect in a relationship, but there will always be like one thing that maybe, you have your flaws in. And, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I take it. But yeah, the other person totally is doo-doo.
This EP, I mean, you're telling a story here. Is it your story? It's the story of what you've been going through for the last, how long?
Probably like 6 months until now. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, really until now. I mean, these like, there's like some songs on there that are, I mean, they're all like, we made them maybe like a month ago.
Wow.
Or more, possibly. But it's so real. But it's like the journey through like my last 6 months with relationships, like love, myself, social media. It just took every aspect of my life that I was struggling with in the last 6 months and put it into a song. Well, multiple songs, but yeah.
What does that mean? Does it help you heal? Does that, what do you feel?
It does help me heal a lot, and it does give me closure, in a sense, with myself, you know. There's just something so therapeutic about feeling so intensely about something and being so hurt and bothered by it, and then being able to kind of write it down on a piece of paper and create a beautiful song out of it and kind of just wash it, like watch it wash away, you know? And every time I listen to the songs, I feel like I gain something from it. But it's like a goodbye from a chapter, but yeah.
And we're going in 6 month increments. So this EP is done 100%.
Everything's pretty close to being finalized, mixed, and mastered. I think I just have to record my vocals for the outro, and then I'll be done.
Sick.
I'm like making sure I don't say anything wrong.
So I think you said earlier that counting crimes is kind of like you really figuring out who you are. So how would you describe La-Di-Di leading into that? Was that an experiment? Was that you? Like a bridge into this?
Yeah, I mean, I think La-Di-Di was such a fun song to make just because I never really branched out to that like pop punk type of vibe musically. And so I always listen to it all the time. And I think it was really fun and cool to make it. And there's just something that's just so raw about it that I've always been attracted to and drawn to. But I've never, you know, like wrote a song that like was like pop punk or ever like sang a song like that. Mm-hmm. Other than like I Miss You by Blink-182 and like I'm crying in my room. But it was so fun to make and it was cool. And I just love, you know, creating music. I hate really like sticking myself into a box and saying that this is the genre that I make, you know, like this is the type of music that I create, but I just kind of make whatever feels right to me in the moment and what fits. And at that time it did. And, it was fun and it was really cool. And I don't know. I also do think, like, even, like, in my EP and, like, future music, like, there's a lot of elements from that genre that I am now adding into my new stuff without it feeling like it. But there's a vibe that I've taken from, like, creating La Di Da, kind of. And, yeah.
Would you say you're a part of the new pop-punk scene?
I think La Di Da really did push that scene. Along with like Jaden and like MGK and, you know, Kenny Hoopla and like all these stuff, I think.
Travis is freaking
and
incredible.
Travis is incredible, you know. He makes everything perfect. I don't even know how the man does it, but he has like a secret touch and he just like put it on La Di Da and it was insane. But yeah, I mean, I would say that La Di Da was a part of that new scene. Me, myself, I don't know because, again, like, I don't really want to stick myself into that genre. I think, I don't even know. I'm just going to say I make, like, Nessa music. Because I don't even, like, know where I fit at this point. But, yeah.
And that's okay, right?
Yeah.
Like, let it go where it goes. I believe in no genres.
Yep.
Genreless, baby.
What's it like working with Travis?
He's amazing. The first day I ever recorded in his studio, I couldn't keep those vocals because I was so shaky. I was like, oh my God, it's Travis Barker, and I'm like singing in front of him. But no, he's incredible. And like the more I got to know him, it was like he is such a humble and down-to-earth dude. It's insane. Like sometimes I now forget that he's Travis Barker just because of how much of a real human he is. But he is the nicest guy I've ever met, and he is so insanely smart and knows exactly what he's doing. It's crazy, but yeah, he's amazing.
Is La Di Da the only song you've done with him?
Yeah.
For now.
For now.
Like, are you writing actively still, like, for future projects, knowing that this EP's, like, almost ready to go?
Oh, yeah, like, in a few weeks when my producer comes back in town, I'm like going album mode.
Really?
And I'm just ready to just keep going. But I don't know. I need to stay busy in creating music. That way, like, I keep my feet on the ground and I'm like, I know exactly. I'm like motivated and I know what I have to do and I'm not like distracted.
What about live shows? Have you given them any thought?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have, there's talks about it and I'm excited, you know, soon I'm going to start doing like rehearsals and like even seeing like a movement coach and all of this stuff. I'm taking everything seriously. I do like weekly vocal lessons. Like I'm excited.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tour, potentially.
Potentially, in the future. I hope so.
Amazing.
Are you going to pop up at any of these MGK Jaden shows?
I know I'll be there to support. I don't know if if I'll be ready to perform like in front of like thousands and thousands of people.
Why not? I mean, Jaden hasn't really ever performed in front of that many people, right?
I don't know, not that many.
There you go. You got to just get up there and wing it, see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have to figure it out eventually.
I know.
We had Trisha Paytas on here the other day. We're not going to talk about Trisha Paytas, but we were talking about influencers and TikTokers that have turned musicians, and she was talking about how you and Jaden are like two people that she actually enjoys and thinks like you guys are going to have real big, successful music careers.
Oh my God, I love that.
Well, I would like to just say that I've been saying for freaking what feels like forever that y'all are going to be selling out stadiums eventually. I really do think that. I mean, the scene's back, baby, and it feels good.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, like, I plan on doing this for the rest of my life. Or, I mean, as long as I can walk, you know. But, like, I'm just so excited, and I know the future is going to, like, be so crazy, and, like, it's only been a year since I've released Pain, and, like, I feel like there's been so many changes, and, like, I feel like I've gone so far already in, like, a year since Pain. So, I mean, in 5 years, like, who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. Imagine 1 year from now.
I yeah. know. I know. I'll be 20.
Ugh. Does that scare you?
A little bit.
I get it.
I like the teens.
I don't even remember what it was like back there.
But I mean, 20 scares me. 21 doesn't. I cannot wait for that. But, yeah.
What about 27?
Well, I'll be dead.
Stop it.
No. We're not joining the 27 club.
Stop it. That was, like, I had a real fear about that in my own life, and I would talk about it with my therapist, and they literally thought I was insane.
That's so funny. No, actually, everyone actually thinks I sold my soul to the devil because of La-Di-Di and that lyric. I'll be dead at 27.
Who writes that lyric?
She does.
You?
Well, you know, like, there's, like, writers and stuff, but, like, everything, it's actually funny because before La-Di-Di, after La-Di-Di, I just like trolling low-key sometimes. Like, I was going to make a song called Sold because everyone, like, thought I really sold my soul to the devil, and it was going to be spelled S-O-U-L-D.
Oh, wow, that's good.
And it was going to be, like, some, like, crazy stuff. Like, lyrics were going to be, like, the ritual and stuff, but I had no idea what that even is. You know, I was just, like, making up in my head. It was like, what sounds cool? Ooh, like, draw my name in, like, blood or something. I don't even know. But, like, I just like trolling people. And also, too, which is very interesting, 27 is, like, the average age of death for women with BPD, which is something that I have. So it's crazy. I do think that I will live till I'm, like, 107. Don't worry. I'm not going anywhere to all the haters that tell me to... But, yeah, it's very interesting. And then there also was, like, a Nirvana play in there and, like, Kurt and stuff. Yeah. So it was a lot of play on words.
There's a lot of people in that 27 club.
A lot.
Isn't it?
I don't even know if it's a thing, though.
I mean...
Like, what if it's just a coinkydink?
It is. And then you can't use white lighters, okay?
Yeah. Oh.
Knock on wood. Use white lighters?
I don't know. Every now and then.
No.
I forgot about that
aesthetic.
One.
No. It's the aesthetic. The aesthetic of death. Get that out of here. God. Oh.
I'll stop.
I'm gonna ship you some holy water. You leave me your address.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of lighters, that's right. I know you got a lot of people here, but I saw you smoking cigarettes the other day, and I don't really know you, but I was going to tell you to stop that.
Okay. What's better? Smoking one cig, like, twice a day, or...
Hitting the vape all day?
Every second.
Okay.
Because, like...
What kind of vape are you hitting?
Some big thing. I don't even know, but, you know, they saw... the Juuls, they, like, stopped the flavored pods. So I was like, crap, now I have to go to Puffs. They stopped selling the Puffs. Now they're all fake. Yeah. And I was like, crap, I got to go to Bang. So now I'm hitting Bang Puffs.
Oh, my gosh.
But I know
my
they're
friends,
terrible for me.
My friends hit the Bangs.
Yeah, but they're good. Oh, my God. Apple Ice. So sorry. No, I'm not promoting it. But, like, I just have a true addiction. And a lot of, like, I really don't promote
but
it.
But what are
I
you
think-
addicted to? Are you addicted to the actual physical... action of hitting it? Are you addicted to the feeling that it gives you? Let's break this down.
I do think that, one, I am addicted to nicotine, 100%.
I mean, it's built to be addictive. Makes sense.
Yeah. too, I think it's the satisfaction of the inhale and the exhale. I don't know what it is, but I've tried quitting. I actually quit like 4 days ago, and I went one day without hitting it.
That's a start.
The next day, I went absolute bonkers, crazy. I did not really like know why. Could be my mental health, but I do blame it on me not hitting the puff. I think I was going insane, sweating at night. It's hard. Then I tried to transfer over to cigs. That way, it's easier because I don't like those, and I have that smell OCD.
Yeah, it bothers me.
It's like, if I do that, then maybe I'll do it less, and then I'll get over it.
That's positive thinking.
You know what? My friend Craig has done the same thing, right? He would smoke Juuls, and then he gave up the Juuls, and now he, like, limits his cigarette usage.
Yeah.
Slow and steady is going to win this race.
But it's so ironic, because e-cigs were created to help people quit smoking cigarettes.
I know.
And now it's like, now they're the bigger problem. I think they knew.
100%. Yeah. It was just shifting from one to the other, baby. They played us like fiddles.
They really did.
Those things are addicting, and those Bang energies are all the rage. I have a lot of friends who hit them. Ironically, when an ex-boyfriend of yours tried to steal my friends at a party on Saturday night.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, literally. We had to chase after him for it. I mean, my friend was like, you know, he's also addicted, so he couldn't let his vape go.
It's at parties, it's so easy, though, because you can be like, oh, let me hit it. And then, then someone will come up to that person that you're hitting that puff, and you're like, okay. And then just, like, walk away.
He thought he was so smooth.
Yeah, but I don't do that. I'm a good person.
You don't steal strangers that you just met's vape?
No. I also don't hit strangers' vapes. I don't know if that's just me, but, like, I got to know you. And, like, I need, like, a list of, like, your physical records before I hit your vape. But, that's why I try to have my own. I feel like everyone else is hitting mine.
Wow. You have class and decorum, so.
We love that.
What are you thinking?
It seems like you have a very addictive personality. Is that true?
Yes. Okay. Very addictive.
I think that can be a good thing and a bad thing, but how has that affected you?
Not in, like, the best ways. I think I don't really know how to explain it, but, like, I could be addicted to a person, addicted to... My mom's here.
Earmuffs.
Addicted to, like, nicotine, anything that is something that I really never felt before, I usually cling on to it, and I get very addicted to it. I'm also very impulsive, so that makes things worse. But I've had, like, positive addictions, like, with music, you know. So I guess that's, like, good. But it's something I'm working on. Thank God for my therapist.
I think when you get on stage and you perform in front of thousands of people, it's going to be a feeling like it's going to be another feeling that you've never felt before.
No, yeah. Jaden just had his first show in Vegas not too long ago, and we all went. And this kid looked like he was tripping on Molly.
Yeah.
Insane. Could not smile. Could not stop smiling for like 3 hours after. And he was so excited for me to experience that. Mm. And I hope that that's a feeling that I love and I don't ever want to go away, because that's like a good addiction, you know? I'm excited. And that like motivated me to like, okay, come on. Like, we have to start performing. Yeah.
Do you get that feeling when you perform on, like, Kimmel or any of those late night shows?
Mm. No.
It's different, dude.
It's so different. I don't know what it is.
And you're performing to
nobody. I get anxiety, insane anxiety, when I do those, like, those shows, especially with the Kimmel and Ellen, because they were pre-recorded because of COVID. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, like, a crowd, you know. It was just a camera. And cameras give me... the worst anxiety.
Yeah, it's more about aesthetic and like angles. It's not
and
really
like,
about quality.
I'm worried about how I look and like if I like
totally
look awkward or if I make like the wrong move or like, you know, it's like my anxiety just like distracts any feeling that I could possibly feel during that moment. But I do think that like performing in front of people will be different because there is something about feeding off of other people's energy and like looking at people singing back your lyrics, I think, are insane. But yeah.
How many songs are on the EP?
Seven. Yeah, seven. I'm terrible with numbers. There used to be 10.
Oh, wow.
But it's seven, and it's the perfect seven. Seven.
Will the other four go to the album or no? No. Will the other four go to the album?
That's three.
Three? Seven? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. God, I was so confident in my math. I'm a moron.
Sorry, what did you say?
The other three songs that got cut.
There was 10, and now there's seven, right? So, one, two.
Oh, no. There we go. So, I was so confused. I second numbers.
Here are these three.
I think they're going to stay in my lovely archives folder. But I don't know. I honestly think that they might come out. Maybe one day. It all depends. But I also don't think that maybe as singles, maybe possibly. On my album, though, I think I'd want to tell a different story. So I'm very like.
You have eras and you stick to the eras.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like when I start a project, I like starting fresh.
Yeah.
Because like you're in that moment and like you're motivated and like you. It's just, it makes more sense of it, and it sounds more cohesive, and yeah, I just work better that way.
When is this EP coming?
This fall.
Oh my gosh, it's only June.
I know, what the heck?
Let's just leak it.
You know, I'll leak it on SoundCloud.
Don't say that.
I know, oh my god, my label will kill me, I'm joking. Yeah, but there is an earlier surprise.
Look back.
There's an earlier surprise before the EP that is on the EP that will come out before, which is usually how it works.
Any collaborations?
On the EP? Yeah. No, just because it is so personal to me, and I feel like no one really could help me tell the story other than myself.
Hell yeah.
You know, and I feel like it would just get, like, too lost in the sauce. But I'd be down for some remixes.
Mm.
I think it'd be dope.
Put it out there.
Yeah.
You say that you are in a much better place right now than you were when you were writing this EP?
I would say so. I was kind of still healing from a lot of stuff that helped create the EP. And, you know, I was using it to cope. Every song I use is to cope. But it's helped me. And I'm also, like, personally in a much better and healthier position. And I'm happy for once. You know, I feel like I've never really been able to truly say that I'm happy until now. So, yeah.
Is that everything from, like, life, relationship, career, all the above?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything. It's kind of crazy, but I just feel like I'm more motivated and more at peace, and I have some clarity as to where, you know, I want my life to go and my music to go, and I'm just very... like happy. Like I hold a lot of joy, and I've never felt joy before. I really don't think so until now.
Where do you think that comes from?
Like joy?
Yeah.
I don't know. Happiness?
But like, is it attached to something in your life that's there today that wasn't there before?
I mean, like, I don't know.
What is going on? I feel like I'm, like, at a school, like, lunch table.
I feel like we all, like, know what we're talking about, but nobody wants to say it because we got an email saying don't say it, but, like, sitting in front of us.
I don't know what's going on. I feel like everybody else is in on the secret that I'm
I don't
on.
Even, I don't even know what email. Okay. I just, everything is just so amazing. You know, I feel like it's not really just one thing, you know, it's, my life has just come to a point where, like, I can now see the progress in all of the hard work that I put in when it comes to, like, the progress, the hard work that I put in with myself and, like, getting better mentally. I've seen it. Music, it's been an insane journey. And just, like, life itself, I feel like I just am, like, happy to wake up in the morning and, like, do my thing, you know?
She was saying the last time you saw her, she was crying on a rooftop. We're not there anymore.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, no tears today.
Wow, we've covered a lot here. You got to listen to Counting Crimes. There's a link in the description below.
Yeah. I love you guys. It's always so fun. Mutual. I always get nervous coming in.
Why?
But I'm like, no, like, it, when I, like, do any other interviews, but I'm like, yeah, I'm going to talk to my boy Zach. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great day.
Yeah, you got tattoos this morning.
Yeah, 10 a.m.
Can I ask why you went from the tattoo chair to therapy back to the tattoo chair?
To finish.
Oh, I mean, I didn't know if she, like, yeah, got inspired while...
I wanted more. So I had, like, an hour to get tattooed before my therapy, and I wanted a bunch more still. So I was like, stay there. I'm going to go talk to Karen, and then I'll be back. Yeah.
You just can't do therapy and get tatted at the same time.
I think, like, the bzzz, too distracting. Well, I'm like, I had a bad day yesterday, you know, it would have been, like, really difficult, but.
Is there a goal? Are you going to do a sleeve?
Yeah, I'm starting to, yeah, I do want a sleeve, and I, next time, we're starting my back. Yeah. I love them.
What kind of sleeve do you want? Do you want, like, it to be connected? Do you want them to be scattered?
Yeah, I like the scattered look and, yes, like, the small tattoos. I think it's cool. I'm also a very small girl, so I feel like if I had, like, big, bulky, like, tattoos on me, it would look a little weird.
I get that.
I like the delicate, like, tiny tattoos look.
Beautiful. I look forward to seeing the sleeve evolve over time.
Me too.
Just like you. You will also be evolving as a human being.
Yes. Yes. We'll do a tattoo update, tattoo check every time I come back.
You have an open invitation here whenever you want. Nessa Barrett, everybody.
Woo!
Thank you.
Hey, beautiful human, you made it to the end of our conversation with Nessa Barrett. We appreciate you. Counting Crimes, that is her new single. Listen to it and reach out. Let us know who we should invite to our couch next. Our studio is very, very free. At Zach Sang Show, on any form of social media. Come on, talk to me. And please subscribe to our podcast, share it with those you care about, and have a great day. Please be safe if you can't hug your family, and don't go to jail. Peace and love.